Thank you, Sarah. Our final news stories include a councillor's call to end the myth that City Hall is killing the city centre. But first, a sky-high Lego project sees a school forge links with Germany.
It can be difficult to make new friends when you're young, and it's near impossible to do so when they live in a different country. But youngsters at Eaton Hall Specialist Academy in Norwich have struck up an unlikely friendship with a German dog walker after he rescued a school project they feared was lost. It all began when Simon Hicks, the childcare officer at the Right for Success Academy, and Steve Culvert, head of design and technology, tasked a group of young people from year 4 up to year 9 with constructing a craft that could be launched into the atmosphere, complete with a camera, tracker, and Lego crew. With Neil Armstrong and his space dog, kindly donated by Mr. Culvert's 6-year-old son, in place, and an early easterly wind howling, pupils and staff drove west to pick up a launch pad. When they stumbled on an aptly named Eaton Hall estate near Ely, it was time to go. Launched by helium balloon, the mission was soon underway with pictures, video, location, and altitude beamed back to Earth from almost 13 miles up into the atmosphere. Mr. Culvert said, "At this stage, we were happy that we'd achieved something. We'd involved so many pupils and so many disciplines that it was seen as a success." But contact was soon lost, and the team assumed the balloon had popped. Then suddenly, Mr. Hicks said, we started receiving more data. The tracker was still working. We know by now that our craft had splashed down in the sea, some 30 kilometres off Lowestoft. And when the batteries finally died, we were sad we'd lost contact. But we'd achieved something. Despite our speculation that the module would probably end its days on the coast of the Netherlands, we knew it had reached its 12.8 million miles above the Earth. That was massive. Accepting the project was over, pupils went off for the summer break, but at the end of September, Mr. Hicks received an email from a man called Dieter, who had stumbled on the craft while walking on the beach in Germany. He spotted the Academy's initials and decided to get in touch. Though Neil and his dog were tragically lost, the camera and tracker were still intact. Dieter mailed it back, along with a map of where it was found, a German newspaper from the day, and chocolates and sweets for pupils.
It's time to kill off the myth that Norwich City Council is killing off the city centre, a councillor has said, as City Hall increases parking charges. The Labour-controlled cabinet rubber-stamped an increase in the price of ticket at its off-street car parks, which will mean that drivers will pay an extra 10p an hour at the majority of the council-owned car parks. Evening charges will go up by 20p from £2 to £2.20, with multi-storey car parks such as St Andrews, Rose Lane and St Giles affected, along with surface car parks such as Rouen Road and Queen's Road. Tickets last went up in November last year, and the hike will mean that parking charges add £95,000 over a full financial year to the City Hall's coffers, on top of the projected £5.65 million. But Mike Stonard, the City Council's Cabinet Member for Sustainable and Inclusive Growth, defended the increase and hit back at critics of recent changes in the city centre. He said, "I want to say something about the myth being peddled by certain people, including letter writers in the EDP and Evening News, and a council leader, that the City Council is killing off the city centre. That's nonsense, and it's not true. This city centre is vibrant and it's growing. It's doing exceptionally well. We saw an extra 200,000 visitors to the city with the Tunnel of Lights last Christmas, and figures like that are really, really healthy. If you look at our vacancy rates through the recession, they were really low, especially when compared to some towns and cities. The city centre is growing and vibrant."
Giving children a better start at school and cutting exclusions by two-thirds will be priorities for a scheme hoping to tackle disadvantage in Norwich. This fine city was chosen as one of the government's six opportunity areas last October after it came 323rd out of 324 districts for social mobility, a measure of how someone improves their life chances, making parts of Norwich some of the most deprived in the country. After a year of little detail, the government set out key targets for the scheme, which has £6 million of funding attached to it, to be met by 2020 or 2021. They include: cut the rate of permanent and fixed exclusions by two-thirds, get 40% of young people in Norwich into higher education or a higher level apprenticeship, halve the attainment gap between disadvantaged and all pupils, and put attainment at key stages 2 and 4 into the top half of all local authorities. Penny Carpenter, Children's Services Committee Chairman at Norfolk County Council, said the scheme offered the added impetus and investment to drive up aspirations and skills.
The extraordinary and tragic life of former Canaries star Justin Fashanu is the subject of a new film. Forbidden Games, the Justin Fashanu story, is described as telling the tale of the former Norwich City Football Club player's amazing talent that withered and died against a backdrop of bullying and bigotry in the beautiful game. The star, brought up by foster parents in Shropham near Attleborough with his football-playing brother John, became Britain's first £1 million black footballer when he transferred to Brian Clough's Nottingham Forest in 1981, and he was the first player to come out as gay in a newspaper interview in 1990. But the striker had to contend with homophobia, prejudice and discrimination throughout his career, and in 1998 he took his own life, aged just 37. The film was produced and directed by Adam Dark and John Carey. Mr. Dark from Dark Films said, "This film has been 2 years in the making and has been one of the most challenging stories to tell. Justin was an incredibly complex character. His abandonment as a child had a profound effect on him." Mr. Carey from Black Sun Media added, "We aspired to make something not only told the tale of Justin's tragic life, but that would make viewers reflect on society's part in his story. It was interesting to me to see how far we've come in so many ways, but not move forward at all in others."
And that's all for this edition of Chatterbox. When you've finished with this memory stick, pop it in the wallet and drop it in a postbox, preferably by next Tuesday, not forgetting to turn over the address label. Don't worry if you haven't listened to everything by next week. Keep your memory stick until you have listened to all the things you like. We hope you've enjoyed listening to Chatterbox, and our thanks go to our loyal volunteers who make up the production team. The editor was Sarah Lusher, and the sound recordist was Brian Kerridge. We always like to hear from you, so please do call us on 01603 765 365. The best time to ring is on Thursdays when the office is open, but you can also email us at contact@cbtn.org.uk, and you can, of course, visit our website, cbtn.org.uk. So from me, Marnie Meakin.
And me, Richard Matthew.
Goodbye.